Hello, and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels. And if you are on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Today's guest is Tom Agenthaler. He is a consultant, international speaker, and founder of the Influence Marketer, where he helps companies leverage the power of influencer marketing to inspire, persuade, and increase business. Tom, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your backstory?
Sure. Like you said in the intro, I'm an influence marketer, and I've been doing this for probably about 10 years or so. Prior to that, I was doing public relations, and I did that for HP, the computer company, and I've also worked for major global PR agencies as well. I worked for a number of them over the years. And prior to that, in a different life, if you want to call it that, I worked on Wall Street as a stockbroker, and that was in New York when I still lived there. And so it's been kind of a long, weird journey with lots of twists and turns, but it's been fun and it's been pretty enlightening, and I've learned a lot along the way.
Can you tell us about your company, the Influence Marketer, and talk about the subject, influential marketing?
Well, the website is theinfluencemarketer.com, and there I really talk about, you know, influence marketing, what it is, how to do it, things I encounter in the industry with clients. The company is 551 Media LLC. It's an LLC. But I consult with corporations, and I come in and I do trainings with them. And I will at times even set up and lead their influencer marketing strategy for them and execute it. I've done it, like I said, in the past, with corporate clients like HP, and when I was doing it for them, I set up their strategy and ran it for, you know, in conjunction with them for about 6-7 years. That was enterprise stuff, so it was all, you know, servers and, you know, networking and cloud computing, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't laptops. It wasn't something that was, you know, tangible like that and you could hold in your hands. So it was a bit more challenging, but it was great because I got to really dive in and figure out what their needs were, where their target markets were, and then identify influencers that spoke to those target markets and build a strategy around that. So it was really a multi-pronged thing. So it was like involved events, whether it was their own events or going to industry events, and then doing other activities, virtual activities that wove the influencers into what they were doing already with their marketing and co-creating content with those influencers that spoke more meaningfully to their target markets. So as you probably know, companies are really not that good at speaking to their target markets. They speak at them. They don't really have a dialogue with them. And that's because a company is a thing. It's an entity. It's not a person. And if you can inject some personality into that conversation through an influencer, it's going to resonate a lot with your target market, and it's going to be more meaningful, and it's probably going to impact them in a way that the company just putting out press releases or doing their typical marketing is never going to be able to do.
One thing that I really learned from you is that, you know, people could have tactics on social media, but, and have, you know, gimmicks, you know, do this, like people and message them. But, you know, at times it might not be influential or personable. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure, man. I think you bring up a great point. There's people out there every day telling you, you know, whether it's blog posts or they're selling some coaching course or whatever they're doing, you know, these are the tactics you need to use, you know, if you're going to like become the next Frank Kern or the next Tony Robbins or the, you know, whatever it is, you know, these are the things that you need to be doing. And really, most of those tactics are not helpful unless you've got a real strategy behind it and you really know who you want to talk to. So, for instance, a guy like me, I need to be on LinkedIn a lot more than I need to really be in on Instagram, for instance, right? Because my target market is going to be corporate people, agency people, people like that. And their dialogues are all happening on LinkedIn. So it really pays to figure out who the movers are in your industry and then to sort of cultivate ways in which you can reach out to them and start to get to know them. They can get to know you. And the way to do that is to really think of it as you're working with people. You're not doing technical things. It's working with people. So for instance, you and I had a dialogue before we even got on this podcast together, right? I mean, you found me through Tyler, and now I'm making a real meaningful connection with you beyond just the podcast. You know, I want to stay in touch with you going forward. You're doing interesting things in your business and in Florida. You know, you're a guy that I want to know. And that's the way to think of it. It's not to think, oh, I need more likes on social media or I need more, you know, of this, that, or the other thing there. Because a lot of that is really just ephemeral. It really doesn't move the needle too much for you unless there's something meaningful happening underneath it, right? So that's why people buy fake followers on Instagram. That's why they buy fake followers on Twitter, because they want to look like they're really popular, but, you know, they're really not. I'd rather know 10 or 15 really quality people that are doing meaningful things in their business and have a dialogue with them that have 10,000 followers.
It feels like LinkedIn's more personal. What do you think about LinkedIn versus Facebook and Instagram?
Great question, man. I've been getting into LinkedIn more in the last 18 months or so, too. And I don't know what it is about the platform, but you and I connected there. I connected with Tyler there, right? I mean, I've been connecting with all of these different people that have helped me, and I hopefully I've been helping them too, on LinkedIn. And it's easy to have a great dialogue there, but about business, right? Yeah. Where you and I could, you know, go back and forth and talk about things, ask questions back and forth on Messenger there. And I don't feel like you're trying to sell me something. I'm not trying to sell you something. We're just two business guys going back and forth, trading some knowledge, you know, maybe helping each other out a little bit. Hey, if you thought about this, if you thought about that, I'll introduce you to this person or that person. You know, you might get something out of that. Where on Facebook, for instance, Facebook is, to me, it's turned into all like selling, right? Right. People are constantly just trying to sell you something. You know, I get these Facebook friend requests, and then before you know it, they're trying to sell me that, you know, they're going to show me how to get to seven figures, you know. Meanwhile, you know, they're living in a one-bedroom apartment or something. It's like, yeah, well, if you can't get yourself to seven figures, you're not going to get me there, right? So, exactly. And Instagram is just a different animal. Again, Instagram is a fun platform. I there's a woman out there who does a great job from a business-to-business perspective. Her name is Sherry Hinnish, and she's called the Supply Chain Queen. And she talks all about supply chain, right? This is a total business-to-business thing, right? Now, if you're not an enterprise or a large media business, you're not going to give a crap about supply chain, right?
No, not at all.
But she's doing a great job out there and connecting with people like individually that are business people and attracting them to her feed there. I mean, she's doing a terrific job. She really is. And she's one of the few business-to-business people that I follow and really enjoy there. So it's growing. There is business-to-business stuff growing there. I think Instagram still has a lot of potential for people. I think people look at it, though, from the wrong perspective. They look at Instagram and they say, oh, my gosh, I want to be an influencer on Instagram and have 100,000 followers. And then be working with brands who are going to throw money at me, and you know, then I'm going to be able to travel the world and, you know, make seven figures and lead this lifestyle. And it's really not like that. I am, you know, a lot of Instagram influencers are using it as a part-time job. It's not a full-time gig for most of them. I look at Instagram as a way to find your audience on a different platform that might not be on Facebook or LinkedIn, and to drive them to wherever you want to drive them to. So if it's your website or something else or a landing page or whatever, you know, if you've got a book or something, you could direct people to that. So I think there's great ways to use those platforms, but you just have to step back for a minute and think, okay, how can I use this to sort of reach the my target market that I'm not reaching on the other ones? And who do I need to connect with there? Who should I reach out to? And don't reach out to them just because they have big followings. Reach out to them because they're really in your niche and they speak to the people that you want to speak to. And they're worth knowing, right? I mean, you've got to like their content too, right? I mean, that's it. Like I told you about Sherry Hinnish. I really like her content. Now, some of it's motivational. Some of it's really, you know, talks about supply chain. Some of it is just, you know, general business advice. But it's good stuff. So, you know, I look for people like that. And I've made some great connections on Instagram, even though my following is like 300 people. Yeah. Right? I mean,
you start somewhere.
You know, I've had people reach out to me, and I've made great business relationships with people as a result of just having a small following. So you don't have to have a huge following for all of this to have an impact on your bottom line, right? And your yeah. and the growth of your business.
Which I would like to piggyback on that. Actually, I follow this pizza podcast called Pizza Marketing Podcast, and this guy interviews, you know, pizza owners around the country. I'm not planning to open up a pizza restaurant. I don't even, you know, cook hardly. But I like their passion behind it. They're connecting with me. I got nothing to do with pizza. I like eating it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting how you were saying about, you know, that lady on Facebook about supply chain. You got nothing to do with it. I got nothing to do with it. But I respect her passion. I like it. I'm hooked, you know? And I remember a couple of years ago as well when Gary Vee was pushing, you know, hey guys, I like the Jets. And it feels like I want to become a New York Jets fan. It's so weird.
Well, you know, the enthusiasm can be infectious,
yeah.
Right? But you know, you look at a guy like Gary Vee, and the guy lives and breathes his business. I mean, he really enjoys it. He loves what he does. It's obvious. You can't fake that kind of enthusiasm every day. And that's what's called authenticity, right? So when you're looking at influencers, you know, you'll often hear the word, well, you know, are they being authentic with their audience? Well, you know, just the people that you and I have talked about here, the pizza guy that you talked about, supply chain queen, and then Gary Vee, all those people are being authentic and they're building, you know, audiences, genuine audiences that care about what they have to say. When I look at their stuff, it helps me think a little differently, right? Because maybe it opens up an idea in your mind, or it sparks an idea in your mind that, hey, maybe I should look at this a little differently. You know, this person gave me a point of view. I should look at that, incorporate that. Maybe I can make that work for me, right? So I think that's part of it, right? I mean, we're looking for things to sort of spark our imagination and give us a different point of view. Like, I don't know anything about the pizza business either. I'm like you. I love to eat pizza. I think pizza's great. I'm a big New York pizza fan, you know, thin crust, you know, big pizza pies, some pepperonis on there, maybe some sausage, you know. Love that stuff. But, I mean, as a business and as a marketing thing, I don't know anything about it. But I'm going to check it out after you've told me about it, because it sounds kind of cool,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And this is what this podcast, you know, like this whole topic is called, influential marketing. You know, are you speaking to an audience? Are you speaking to people that are not interested, but that could be interested in the future?
Right. True. Because, I mean, you know, people are building businesses every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might not need you right now, but 6 months from now, they might need you. Right. Or they might be looking around for that service that you provide, and they could think back, hey, you know, Santiago, man, that guy's got a good podcast. I'm going to go, you know, maybe I'll reach out to him.
One of the things that I heard you speak, and I really love this part, was about values. How important is values in your life and in business?
Well, you know, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for other people, but obviously. But, you know, when you have a solid set of values and you're going to live by them, that's the whole key there. You can write down your values, whatever they are, right? But if you're not going to live by them, then they're not doing you any good. So you've got to live them. You got to live them and breathe them. And at times, that can be really difficult to do. Let me give you an example. I was a big company. I was working there. I had a great team, right? I was on a PR team. And the management changed, okay? So it was a sudden, swift change in management. And this new person, this new woman came in to, like, oversee our department. And I could tell right away, the minute I met her, that our values did not align. Give her what she wants and just do what she says, irregardless of how other people are going to be impacted, right?
Right.
And in particular, she wanted me to dump an agency that we were working with. Actually, this agency helped me with influencer marketing when I was first getting started with it. And it was just a couple of guys, and they had left the company they were with, and they had started up their own little firm, and they were helping us with influencers. And we had gotten phenomenal results after working with these guys, and they showed us the ropes. And I was just like, this is the future of marketing right here. This is it, right? Mm-hmm. And she was all about getting rid of them. And she wanted this PR firm to handle it all. And I was like, they're going to do a horrible job and it's going to cost three times as much. But she didn't care because she just liked this firm, whatever. And they were tied at the hip together. I don't know, whatever the deal was. But so she wanted me to undermine the agency that I had been working with and to throw them under the bus, so to speak. And I remember she was pressuring me to do these things and, you know, kind of, you know, it wasn't overt. It was sort of suggested. It wasn't like she said, I want you to throw them under the bus. It was more, like I said, suggested that I do it. And I remember confronting her one day over the phone. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to throw them under the bus. I'm not going to say bad things about them just because you want me to. So it's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. And actually, I'm going to fight you every step of the way. As you try to, well, my ass was out the door at that point, right? Mm-hmm. I knew that she was going to, and all she did then at that point was campaign and undermine me in every way she could. But it was uncomfortable. But you know what? I went to bed at night knowing that I didn't undermine other people for the sake of whatever she wanted to do. Just because it would have been easier, man. Let me tell you, it would have been easier. Yeah, get rid of them. Let's work with this PR firm. You know, let's do all that. Let's do all these things. Let's say bad things. I wasn't going to do it. And she really made it very uncomfortable for me to work there. So I eventually called her up and I said, look, you don't want me here. I don't want to be here anymore. So why don't we just, you know, let's work a deal where I can, you know, give me a few months to get out of here. You know, and she did. And she was like, okay, fine. You know, so, and then what happened was I ended up joining the agency that she wanted me to undermine. So I worked with them for.
That's awesome, Tom. That's why I love you.
So I ended up working for them for like 6 or 7 years. And then we picked up some great enterprise business to business stuff along the way. And, you know, I never looked back. And, but, you know, that's what I mean by living your values.
If you had to write a book, actually, what will the title be?
Oh, man. Now you're going to ask me this question. And this is like.
I can guess.
You know, I've got a list of potential titles I've written down. I mean, there's like 20 or 30 of them. Wow. And I haven't figured it out yet. But it's going to have like influencer marketing in there, or influencers, the word, that word in there, because I think that that's an important word today and it means a lot. However, it's misunderstood a lot too. So let me give you a for instance, okay? The influencer marketing world, if you want to call it that, is changing pretty rapidly. And I've seen it from the beginning to now because I've been so involved in it in every step of the way. What I mean by that is it's changing in that if you go to LinkedIn, for instance, like you and I were talking about different social platforms before, the conversation about influencer marketing is much, much different than you'll hear or see on Facebook. Okay. And that's a good indication of where everything's going. So on Facebook, influencer marketing to those people is media buys. Okay. It's online, it's digital marketing. So it's just buying some space on an influencer's Instagram feed. And it's hopefully going to drive, you know, some awareness and traffic back to your landing page or your affiliate or whatever you're selling, whatever you're marketing. That's the way to look at it. So it's an advertising buy, right? It's a media buy, right? You're just buying a small piece of a small billboard, but that billboard speaks to your target market is looking at that billboard, right? So instead of a billboard by the highway, which is like consider that traditional advertising, right? It's just a giant billboard. You know, you see these things, 1-800 lawyers, you know, whatever it is.
Especially lawyers.
You know, or some car thing or whatever it is, right? And it's just a general advertisement to the general public. Well, these media buys, these people are doing are very specific and they're targeted, which is good, but it's just media buys. It's not influencer marketing. Okay. So you're just buying space on an influencer's feed. That's all it is. There's no co-creation of content for the most part. There's no content that's going to resonate any longer than maybe 24, 48 hours, right? The kind of content I'm talking about is something that if you co-create a series of blog posts or something or videos with an influencer, that content is long form content and it can resonate with your audience for months, if not years. Right.
Right.
So, you know, look at a guy like Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss is somebody I've worked with in the past. And, you know, I sat down at dinner with Tim, you know, so I mean, I've got a feel for Tim, and Tim is pretty much, he's just what he says in his books and the way he is on his podcast. He is that way. And, you know, Tim told me, look, I'll create long form content and put it out there knowing that, you know, it's probably not going to resonate today or tomorrow, but 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, it's going to be more relevant. That's the way to really look at, you know, co-creation of content, right? Now, imagine if you're doing that with somebody like Tim Ferriss. Right. If you're co-creating some content with him, now every person that he's got on his podcast is in a sense co-creating content with him. Yeah. Right. You and I are co-creating content right now. This podcast episode of yours is probably going to be available for the next couple of years at least.
It will.
Right.
Yeah.
So people can find me. They can learn about our conversation. You know, they can, and this content is going to resonate with people for a long time. A media buy is just good for a specific period of time. It goes away, boom, done, right?
Right.
Advertising is very ephemeral. It's got a time limit, boom, gone, and then it's on to the next thing. The next way that influencer marketing has changed a little bit is called influencer relations. This is the way PR people deal with influencers, right? They have a new product announcement. They got to get it out there. They get it out to the press, the reviewers, blah, 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 blah. Now they need some influencers, too, to look at it and everything else. So they'll deal with them for while doing that. Or maybe there's an event going on and they want to invite some influencers to the event. Or if the influencers are already at the event, maybe they want to meet with those influencers while they're there and kind of pitch them on what they're doing, you know, that kind of thing. That's influencer relations, really. It's just building awareness. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine. But if you're going to really use influencer marketing, you've got to do something deeper, right? You've got to do something that's long form content. Like I said, it's getting your spokespeople on the influencers podcasts. It's co-creating blog posts with those influencers, videos with those influencers, right? It's not only getting them to events and things, which is great, but what else are you doing that's going to speak to your target market in a much more meaningful and deeper way? And if you're as a brand, even a small brand, you don't have to be a giant brand to do this. And you could be working with five influencers and it could mean a huge, it could make a huge impact on your business, right? As long as it's those right five influencers.
Wow.
I'll give you one more example.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
All right, and Tim Ferriss talks about this, okay? Tim says, and I totally believe this because I've seen it happen myself, and Tim actually made it work for himself, okay? If you find the right influencer or the right small group of influencers, that might be all the marketing you need to do. Because if you look at how Tim launched his first book, The 4-Hour Workweek, the first influencer he worked with that was of size at that point in time was a guy named Robert Scoble. Scoble is still around. He's still writing about tech, blogging about tech, doing videos, whatever. Now he's more in the virtual reality realm. He's really jazzed by that. I've learned a lot about virtual reality because of Robert. But Tim worked with Robert directly. Robert talked about the 4-Hour Work Week, and that, boom, that's what really gave that book the launch. Right? The 4-Hour Work Week got started because Robert wrote about Tim's book, recommended it, and then Robert's audience jumped on the book, went after it, read it, and they started talking about it. And that's what really where Tim's audience started to build. And then he went to speak at South by Southwest. I met him there at South by Southwest one year. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I mean. It's like you don't need 1,000 influencers to make this work for you. You could just work with a handful, you know, just the right people, and it can really start to resonate and drive significant ROI for you.
What is your favorite business book?
My favorite business book is a book called Pitch Anything by Oren Claff. And in it, Oren tells you how to pitch business deals, right, and win them. But he puts it within the perspective of a social framework. So what, you know what I'm talking about. When you go in and you're pitching a new client or something and you're walking into their office or something, you are immediately in a beta position because you are now in within their environment. And, you know, they have a waiting area, and then, you know, and then you're ushered in, and, you know, they're, would you like some coffee, you know, some water or something. You are clearly in a low status position. So what he shows you is how to flip that, right? So that you're not in the low status position anymore, but you are at least equal, if not superior in some cases, to them. So I really think this is important for people, not just if you're going to go in and pitch business to people or to other businesses or whatever, or try to raise money, but think of it from just a social setting standpoint. So you go to a party and you don't know anybody, right? And everybody else knows each other. You are clearly in a lower status position than those people are because they all know each other, right? And I think that what it does is it kind of shows you that it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to keep feeling awkward. You can kind of turn that around to your advantage, right? So it's all social framing. It's all just understanding, you know, how you are in this particular strata of status at this particular point in time in this particular place. And I think that it would be really helpful to people because they can learn from that and then they can just turn it around and they don't have to feel awkward anymore. You don't have to stay in the beta position just because you're going in to pitch somebody some business. You can turn that around. I mean, turn it into a situation where you're interviewing them, right? I mean, that's what Claff talks about. He's like, well, you know, we have to have a dialogue here before I'm not just going to, you know, accept your business. You know, you have to tell us too what are your values and everything. How do you do things? Because, you know, we have to make sure that we're in alignment here and that I want you as a client. So you think about that, it's a little bit different. So Pitch Anything by Oren Claff.
Really, really appreciate you coming on. Any closing words?
Just take a deep breath, relax a minute, take a cup of coffee outside, listen to the birds, the wind in the trees, the color of the sky. Just enjoy your life a little bit, relax, and remember that it doesn't all have to be answered today. Some things take time to find the answers, and it's okay. It's okay. And actually, I think that if you allow yourself to take a little more time to find the answers, you'll be well rewarded by doing so because those answers will be much more meaningful to you.
Tom, I really appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
And thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it. And hopefully we can get together sometime when if I make it to Florida. I'd love to do that.